Blog Talk Radio.
KASK Radio Station is live now. We have a gentleman who's going to talk to us tonight and give us the word of name. His name is Brother Charles Sims. Your own, sir. God bless you.
Yes, sir, preacher man. Thank you very much. But to all those who are listening, if there's anybody listening, it is greatly appreciated. Preacher man talks to you all the time, and he told me today to just speak from my heart tonight. I went to theology school, and they taught us how to do the where from, the when, the how come, you know, and digitize everything, you know, get it in a certain structure. And I've been used to that. I'm not used to speaking from my heart, but the more I learn about Jesus, that's how he spoke to mankind. So here's an attempt at speaking from my heart tonight. I read a book one time. It says that when God created heaven, he created with all sorts of good things around it. Words like loyalty, trust, unity, monogamous, compassion, mercy, forgiveness, anything good. So he surrounded heaven with it. And so when he got through with it, he said, "Oh, Gabriel, when you get time, go and look at my newest creation called heaven. And come back and tell me what you think about it." Said about a month later, Gabriel reported back to God because there was so much good surrounding heaven, it took him a long time to read and digest everything that was of surrounding heaven. When he came back, he had a sorrowful look on his face, and God said, "What's wrong, Gabriel?" He said, "My Lord God Creator, I'm afraid that what you've done, this paradise, this place you call heaven that you created for man, it'll be few that make it in." So you took all the great things that come from you and surrounding it with those great things and said, "It won't be many men that make it there." And so God just smiled at him and said, "You're right, Gabriel." And said, then a while later, he created hell and said, all the negative things, he surrounded hell with it. Unfaithfulness, hate, jealousness, spitefulness, backbiting, backsliding, anything that goes against the kingdom of God, he surrounded it, hell with it. So when he saw Gabriel again, he asked and said, "Gabriel, go and look at this place called hell. Come back and report to me. Tell me what you think about it." So then a while later, Gabriel came back and reported to God. He said, "My Lord, my God, what have you done?" He said, "Go into that place called heaven you created with all the goodness. Mankind will fill hell up." He said, "Everything that the flesh desire, homosexuality, lesbianism, beastly acts, hatefulness, anything that the flesh desire that goes against what you are, is there." He said, "I'm sorry to tell you, but I'm going to repeat myself again. Hell is going to be full of mankind." And said, Lord smiled at him and said, "Yeah, Gabriel, you know you're right." He said, "I just want to know truthful opinion from you." Say that I knew it when I created both of them. So most of men are being hell. Very few are making it into heaven. He said, "But anyway, thanks for a truthful report." And just having shared that little story with you, it was a book I read from the East. It was from some Easterner philosopher wrote it. I forgot his name. Like I told you before, I don't remember names. I just remember what I read. And if you look at the way of the world, that story might not be true, what the man wrote, but it's got a lot of truthiness in it. That might not happen that way, but it's got so much truthiness in it. Mankind has left the way of God. We Christians are supposed to be Christians. We do everything that the Bible says that we're not supposed to do and still call ourselves Christians. We shack. God blessed the marriage bed. He didn't bless the shack bed. You can find that in the Bible. He talks about backbiting, hatefulness, jealousness, spitefulness, envy, having other gods before him, faithfulness to your wife, loyalty to your family, him first, and then your family. He talks about so much good in the Bible. This is how we're supposed to live our life. The Bible is the roadmap for mankind to lead his life. If you call yourself a Christian. But a Christian is not what you say, it's what you do. My grandfather saw him die when I was 7 years old, but I shared with preacher men from the time I was 5 years old until he died at 7 years old. That old man crammed so much knowledge in my head and my heart, it was scary. And I told him one day, I'm just a boy, I can't remember all this here. He tapped me on my forehead 2 to 3 times and tapped me on my heart 2 or 3 times and said, place it in your memory. Place it in your heart. And so when it's time for you to use these things I'm teaching you, the Holy Ghost will call it into remembrance because it's my duty to teach you the truth. My grandfather was one of the first deacons at Mason Chapel Missionary Baptist Church where I was raised there. When the pastor wasn't there, guess who stepped in the pulpit and preached? My grandfather saw sins. Like I said, he taught me the Bible. His favorite books were the Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. You know, those were his favorite books, the Song of Solomon. He loved the New Testament books, too, but he stayed in the Old, teaching me the law. Then he taught me what grace was. Grace is the New Testament. And like I said, he died when I was 7. And we got a lot of preachers out there nowadays with all these New Age doctrines, you've heard me talking about them before, telling us what we can do that totally goes against God in His Word, the Bible, totally goes against what God teaches and Jesus taught, and still say we're going to make it into heaven. Cardinal Pearson was the first preacher to come up with the revelation that everybody's going to heaven because there's no such thing as a hell. You can die in acts of homosexuality or bestialism, laying with a beast, laying with another man, women laying with women, be a child molester, be a murderer, be whatsoever, and you're still going into heaven. I've said it before, my family is eating up with some of the worst sins mankind could ever have. My baby sister just died and she was bisexual. My mother was bisexual. My father was just a pure whoremonger. The girls learned from my mama. They had affairs with their husbands and boyfriends and they still called themselves Christians. My brother was a drunk. Besides being a whoremonger, he was a drunk. Now, me, I fall into several categories myself, but I never laid with a man. I never laid with a beast. And I don't drink. But me, as far as being a whoremonger at one time, that I was. So I got my sins, too. I got my faults, too. But when I decided, when I went to prison, and I sat down, and I got a tablet, a pen, and a piece of paper. And I looked at what the image and the likeness of and I wrote it down. Then I looked at what I was being like. I was being godlike, but I was preaching and called myself a Christian. I was doing that. My sister that just died, like I said, she was bisexual. Her oldest son was bisexual. Her middle child was a man in the relationship first. He had other men, but he was the dominant one, and they was the docile one. But now he introduced himself to my daughter at the funeral. I'm married. This is my husband. He flipped himself now. He was confused at first. He wasn't a man. He came to his true calling. He was a woman. In his mind, in his heart, in his soul, he's a woman. So he introduced his husband to my daughter. I asked my daughter, what she do? She said, took her there. I screwed that to keep him laughing in his face. Anyway, that's my family. I've seen the after effects of men being drunk. My great-grandmama, Mamie Bell, was a drunk. She taught her sons how to drink, and they drank together when they got drunk in the Patton. She was a Patton by birth. The Patton, the Williams, and the Jacksons come from my mama's side. The Simpsons, the Turners, and the McGee's come from my dad's side. I come from drunks on both sides of the family. Alcoholism just eats my family up. I don't drink. I got grandchildren that drink. I don't drink. Because I've seen the after effects of a man being drunk and losing control. A white guy came out there where we were standing in the woods on the turpentine plantation with my grandfather Dave. He was working. My mama's dad at work. He said, Pearl, you need to get to Leakesville. He said, them boys and beat Miss Mamie up. My grandmama got that same white man to give us a ride over Leakesville. And when she got in and we seen the horror, they laying up in the house, passed out in their own vomit. My grandmama's eye was just, her right eye was still in her head, but it was pushed to the side. Her nose was tore off, hanging under her right eye. Teeth stomped out, wrist broke. And when pretty girl seen her, her mama in that condition, she lost it. That's what I call my grandmama, pretty girl. She lost it. You know, them big old broom handles they used to make, the great big thick broom handles. I saw it snapping across her knee and started beating people across the head and the back, and they finally woke up out of the stoop and started jumping up and out of windows and stove. She said, Abel, and y'all got to find some place to stay right now. So you spent your last night in this house. And then Uncle Stick, one of her sons, said, well, we was drunk the reason we did it. And my grandmama now, that she was, and she got drunk, she had the filthiest mouth God ever let any person walk this earth have. My great-grandmama, Mamie Bell. She used some cruel words to her own son. I heard her talk to him when she was drunk. And they talked back to her the same way. And Uncle Stick told us that she got tired of it. So that's what they did to their mama. And I done told the preacher man this story, I think. I said, I would even school age. So much happened. I seen in my family before I turned school age. I sat on the front porch and I started praying. Lord, I don't want to be like my people. Didn't know how to pray, but I just kept saying that verse over and the phrase over and over and over till I went to sleep. Now, have I drank in my lifetime? Sure, I have. But I bet you this here, I'm 67 years old, it ain't nothing to brag about, but I can be truthful about it. I can buy you a fifth of liquor. In my drinking in my lifetime, it'd be more than half a fifth of liquor left. Bet you that. Have I used drugs in my lifetime? Sure I have. I've done a lot of things I shouldn't do. But like I tell a preacher man, every time I catch myself in the ditch, going away from what I prayed for, being like my people, I confess, I repent of my sins, and ask the Lord for forgiveness, but he bring me back into the kingdom and restore me into the kingdom. And you know what he tells me? And I share this with my neighbor a whole lot. I know you're tired of hearing the story. He's in the house. I don't know stuff in the house now. His name is Tracy. He said, I tell him, I said, God tells me, he said, Charles, my beloved son, get up and let us go on down the road a little further. Let us continue this journey. And if I have to do it 1,000 times before I make it into glory, I'm going to do it. I've heard the New Age doctrine that a once saved, always saved. And me and my daughter just talking about this last week. She said, Daddy, that's one of the biggest lies that's ever been thought about by the devil. I said, yeah. I said, what about the word backslide and turning away from God? Don't you know Christians can do that? That's the easiest thing for a Christian to do, is to turn away from God. I said, yeah. The devil got them believing that. If you were saved once, you always saved. Hell going to be full of them people that's believing that. Full of them. Then you got the men marrying their dogs and cats and horses, the women marrying their dogs and cats and horses, and grown men married to little girls and boys, and they don't see nothing wrong with it. There's a lot of churches that's full of those types of sinners. If you're a homosexual, a lesbian, a pedophile, or anything degenerate, like in Romans, for God to turn you over to the reprobate man, they got mega churches just for those people to go to. They do. And they call themselves Christians. They do. Me and Tracy talk about it all the time. He happened to be Catholic. But I tell him he got more Pentecostal ways than anything. I sit at his house and ate at his house. He cooked some great hamburgers. He prays like a Pentecostal. Now, he calls himself like the Catholics do when he gets through praying like a Pentecostal, but he's not perfect. So I have to accept that. We got a great relationship, and we're getting along the way man intended, the way God intended for man to get along, him being of the Catholic denomination and me being most of the Pentecostal in my spirit, because I will get happy, I will shout, and I do talk in tongues at times. And we completely opposite on the different spectrum of what the denomination say we should do. But we so close to what God said we should do, it's scary. I'm speaking from my heart tonight the best I can. And I don't have much more to say except, instead of seeking man's ways, seek God's ways. Seek heaven. With all this great surroundings and things that God surrounds us with love, unity, forgiveness, mercy, compassion. Seek that first. The Bible teaches us, I'm looking at it right now, but rather seek ye the kingdom of God. And all these things shall be added unto you. This is just what the Bible has to open up to when I opened it up a while ago. It means seek God's government. What is his government? What is his kingdom? It's his rule. Seek his rule first. God's rule. Jesus said his yoke is easy. It's light. His yoke is easy. It's easy to be a Christian, a true Christian. You don't have to fake it. It's just there. Once you confess and repent and ask Jesus to come into your life, and according to him, believing is done, shall be done. It's done already. Belief. I was just about to talk about that all the time. Belief. A lot of preachers want you to do. The day I asked the Lord to feed me with the Holy Ghost, it was so simple, and 5 minutes later, I was speaking in tongues. But because of that verse in the Bible where they said tarry because the feast is coming up, that's why he told them to tarry to the feast of Pentecost. I think I'm right. It was coming. And that's when everybody was supposed to be there, and he wanted them to speak to him. That's why they tarried around. It didn't take me 5 minutes, and I received the Holy Ghost because I wanted it. mankind, misinterpreting God's word, because the disciples had the table for the feast to come about, and everybody there heard them speaking to these unlearned men, but we hear them speaking in our tongues. Unlearned men speaking in other tongues. There were Jews from all across the world was there, and they understood them. I say it there to say this here. Most preachers want you to look to them for your salvation. They want you to tarry a long time trying to get the Holy Ghost. They want you to tarry a long time trying to get saved. Because the longer they got you there, the more money they're getting out of you. They don't give two dead flies about your eternal soul. Most of them don't. These New Age preachers. Because if it did, they wouldn't be spewing that mess out their mouth. They would tell you what thus says the Lord and leave it at that. I've been around them. They brag about some of the black guys back home, big time preachers in for that part of the world, brag about their two or three Mercedes and the house they got, $500. They would be called wearing a pair of $500 shoes or $1,000 suit. You know, but who is they fleecing to live that lifestyle? They all teach the same New Age doctrine is the more you give, the more you receive. The more you give, the more you'll be blessed. And guess who's getting blessed off your giving more than you can give? They are, not you. Because every year, most of them get a raise. For the anniversary, they get, some of them get $100,000 or better. Some of them get a brand new Mercedes every year. They walk in the pulpit with $2,000 suits on. $1,000 handmade shoes on, bragging about it. But there's some of their members living in poverty. God, they don't believe in the more they give, the more they be blessed. And I always go back to the widow's mite. A mite was less than a penny. She gave all she had to give, and she gave it freely from her heart. Freely. But you know, they got people that, when you join churches nowadays, you go to the people in the office and you have to report your income to them. And if you're not paying the proper tax, you should be paying for the income you're making. You got to find another house of worship. That's the truth. There's a lot of them out there doing that. And the Bible says you're supposed to give so much. If that ain't true, you're supposed to give at least 10%. But they got, because you're going to build a church, they like King Solomon. So people won't, if you read about King Solomon, that's why it's known as Solomon's temple and not God's temple, because he was fleecing the people. They were paying something like 27% tithes when the temple was being built. The materials and the labor cost of it. He was fleecing them to build a monument to him. That's why it's known as Solomon's Temple. Solomon, all that righteous. He started out right, but he wound up. They said he died. If you count up his time, he became king. How long he sat on the throne, Solomon was 50-something years old when he died. And they say he was a horrible-looking man when he died. Because he participated in the acts of his concubines and wives, the religious acts that he committed, a religious sin on the altar, sexual act with one of his wives on the altar. So you need to check into Solomon. Now his father David was a much different person. Much different person. So that's about all I have to say about this tonight. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and all this righteousness. And all these things to be added. The things you're seeking that they got you saying, give more than you can give and you're going to be blessed abundantly. Do what the Bible says. And if they're going to put you out the church for not paying all this money, that's not the church of God anyway. The church of God is in the heart of men. That building you go to for worship, find you another place to worship. And you'll be much better off. much better off. There's some churches that don't want it because of a certain age, house of worship. If it's a certain age, they don't want it in their parking lot. And they should have brand new Mercedes, the Benz and stuff, the Volvo. They don't want it there. Take it down the road and park it somewhere. We don't want it here. Now, I'll tell you what I know. And the way man is gone is like Gabriel said when he pulled it back to God about heaven and earth. I mean, heaven and hell. Even though John seen a man that no man could number, hell gonna be full too, trust me on that. All these new age doctrines that they have. So anyway, I said it back on with the preacher man. I said about what I wanted to say tonight, preacher man. Thank you.
Amen, amen, amen. Well, we got some people on the line. Let's start with them out. Amen. Your number is, oh, the same number. Last four, 8724. You're on the line. Can we talk?
Hey, good evening. This is Sister Valerie. How y'all doing this evening?
Hey, Sister Valerie. How you doing, Mother Valerie? Queen Valerie. How you doing?
I'm doing wonderful.
Amen.
Preparing for my niece's funeral.
Ongoing.
That was a passionate message. I didn't get all of it. I let the time get by me, and so I just signed in. And what I heard was definitely the truth. That we are the church.
Amen.
And the word about where you were saying, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. There's another, there's a version of the scriptures that in the New Jerusalem Bible, where that Matthew 6:33 says, set your heart on the things of God.
That's it.
To set your heart on the things of God. And God doesn't want us chasing after things, but he says set your heart on the things of God, not the things of the earth, but the things of the kingdom. Because he expects us to, he created us as spirit beings, spirit first, soul, and then body. And we should follow after the spirit. God is spirit. And the church that he intends for us to be is the church in the spirit, not with brick and mortar. Although he does acknowledge us coming together to worship and to be a house of prayer for all people.
Amen.
I believe that the church, you know, when you read about Stephen and the apostles, when they were, the apostles got together and they were praying and seeking God, and they assigned their deacons to go and minister to the people. They were feeding the people, the natural things, food. And they had the same anointing that the apostles did, but they were servants. As you were talking, I was thinking, you know, God said in the word, he said, woe unto the shepherds who scatter my sheep. And so that was a real powerful message, and I did enjoy what I heard. I'm not saying I shouldn't even say the word enjoy. It was just the truth.
Sometimes
people don't want to hear the truth, and some people don't want to acknowledge the truth. And sometimes the truth is not easy to hear because it convicts. But the God said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And so just keep speaking the truth. Somebody's going to listen, and it'll cause somebody to change.
Amen.
So be blessed. Amen.
Amen. Well, Brother Charles, would you like to say something to her?
Yes, sir, Sister Bobby. Oh, you sound better today than you did the other day when your niece first was taken out of here. And it's like I keep telling you, I thank you for the kind words. I did the best I could. But if you just keep laying down and you tell your sister the same thing, share it with her, laying down in Jesus and waking up in Jesus, everything's going to be all right. You sound better.
Amen.
And I
Amen.
Thank God for this.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
A weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning.
In the morning.
And you know.
Psalms. There you go.
And we spirit beings living in the body, and we always wrestling with the flesh. And
Amen.
Once you get past the flesh and get back in the spirit, you know that God don't make mistakes. All things work together for the good of those who love God and who are called according to their purpose, to his
yeah.
purpose.
Yeah,
and so all of us, like you say, one day he going to call us all home. So we never know what time of day. We don't know the how. We don't know the when. So we have to stay ready. We have to stay built up in him and looking towards the heavens, looking towards him, the author and the finisher of our faith. And so, we all go through some trials and troubles and tribulations, and we start thinking in the natural with our carnal minds, but once we're able to turn our focus back on God, you know, the kingdom is with us. Joy, peace, and righteousness in his spirit. So, I'm happy. I'm joyful.
Thank you.
And I'm thankful.
Thank you. Forever
grateful. So thank you, Brother Charles. Thank you for your words of encouragement.
Well, you
and
know,
thank you for your prayer.
Amen. One thing I would say to all of us, and I love the Lord with all my heart, and I know right now we're all going through some changes. The Bible consistently speaks to us, talk to us, labor with us, and speak to us. And God says abundantly, I am that I am. And when he sent his son to the earth, he sent him here for a specific reason, and that reason is to set those of us who were in sin, walk out of sin into the holiness by accepting his son, Jesus Christ. And one thing I will say tonight is, Brother Charles is coming on. He's a veteran. He's still coming to the body. He's in the body of Christ, but for many, many days, he was just there out there. And one day, as I was sitting down and just listening, I listened to his testimony. When you listen to a person's testimony, you can feel the heart that thumps in them. Not the physical, but the heart of love, the heart of peace, the heart of joy. And as I said, I begin to talk to him, and this is how we have met together. He's now going to be a part of what we're doing right now. But I want to say this tonight, while we have the time, God has been so good to the body of Christ in this earth now. We've all lost somebody. I have lost somebody. Back to back, next door to me, around me, through me. But I always said, Lord, I love you. I will lift my eyes unto you, which come in my help. My help coming from you. I don't want to play games. I know you said you're coming back. And I want to say this tonight while we're on the line. Do you know somebody in Africa is hearing us right now? Do you know somebody on the 50 states is hearing us right now? Somebody is tuning in, hearing what God is doing. It behooves us to stay close with God. As I've said many times myself, I'm nothing but flesh. I'm nothing but dirt. And the flesh and the dirt shall pass away. But the word of God that lives inside me shall live forever. So I say to the fivefold minister, do your job. As I always say, we don't want to come on and criticizing, ostracizing, but we want to love, show love, show love, show love. And Valerie and the rest of the brothers and sisters and all those other stuff, love conquers many things. And the more we show love, the more we see people. And I want us to be in prayer for Sister Valerie. She's going through a hard, hard time, but God has her. And she's trusting God more. In addition to that, I want us to pray for Brother Charles. Brother Charles needs a place right now as a veteran. Let me tell you, I'm going to say this here as a veteran. He's out there in a place, I call it nowhere. I ain't calling a name, but he's out there. He had to go to the veterans, got an operation on his knees and everything. They're going to bless him tremendously. In addition to that, he found roaches in the place that he's living. Also, he found some bed bugs. And the man, and he had told me, son, the air conditioner fell out. And so I immediately got on the phone today and called some people. I said, look, we got a soldier that needs to know. You know what I told me tomorrow? Tomorrow they're going to make sure they're going to hook up with him. It's no reason why, not only that soldier, but everybody. There are some people in the same places right now. Don't have no food to eat. No clothes to wear. Don't have anything. That's where we Christians come in and do what God has told us to do. When I was hungry, did you feed me? When I was naked, did you put clothes on me? But we see what we have done. I take it from this side and look at the soldier. When we said we defended the liberality, the understanding of the four things in America, the people, the government, et cetera, et cetera. But it behooves us because they may have committed to take care of us when we come back. In any event, something happens. And all of a sudden, we got certain people in certain areas that said, we want this money. It's the same thing out there. Lucifer doesn't even love us. But it's us who are Christians in the military that we pray one for another. Because Lucifer said to God in Job chapter 2, he's a skin for skin. The devil don't care about any of us. Do we care about him? No, man, I don't. But I want to say this tonight before we go. I want to thank God for everybody. And I want you to know, we're just thanking God. The best to come. When God says, and I told people, after 2020, it's a perfect vision. And God is going to do something for us like we've never seen before. All we got to do is keep our eyes. Hello? Keep our eyes on him. He made a commitment, and he cannot lie. Anybody else got anything you want to say? Tonight's that night. We just say I love you. May God bless you. See you on the other side. See you next Wednesday night. But every Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. Valerie comes on every Monday night, 8 o'clock, and she has a tremendous message. And Brother Dr. McClendon comes on Tuesday. And my brother Charles comes on the night. He has a theme what he has, and I put it on Facebook. He says, let me see if I wrote it down right. His theme was, what was your theme, Brother Charles?
Just a voice crying in the wilderness.
Anybody go on Facebook there to see this? A voice crying in the wilderness. Wow. A voice crying in the wilderness. Father, we thank you this night. We declare and decree. Your word is sure and pure. Thank you, Lord, for us. Let us come together. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. I love y'all.
Amen.
God bless you. Amen.
God bless you, too. God bless everybody that was listening.
God bless you, too. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen.